Shall we turn to scriptures together then, beloved? Tonight I want to take a well-known theme and develop it in scripture, that God may open unto us something of the fullness of the wonderful thing that took place on the day of Pentecost. And so we will turn to the Acts chapter 2. You know, much must be made of what took place on the day of Pentecost, for all that took place on Easter Day and all that took place on Calvary's Day would have been quite lost, and it would just have been something that happened in history, unless on the day of Pentecost God had sent the Holy Ghost to bring into reality and make it into an eternal covenant with men and women the things that he had done on what we call Good Friday and on Easter Day. That both those two former days would have been totally unavailing so far as we are concerned, and God would have, though this is unthinkable of course because he planned it this way, failed to do what he set out to do on Calvary. This is a tremendous thing, for although our sister prayed, and how true it is that we should be brought to know all that it meant to the Lord Jesus to have to hang on the cross, he hung there so that we might know all that it means to us. That's why he hung there. His heart was full of what it would mean to us. So far as mean what it meant to him, that was all over in about 2 or 3 hours. That didn't last very long. It was a tremendous thing. But what he was doing there was going to have eternal effects in our hearts and lives, and we need to pray all that it means to us that he hung there. That's a tremendous thing. No one can enter in by sympathy into what took place on the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. What has to happen is that the Holy Ghost must bring it into you in real experience, and then you'll understand. And then I will understand. And everything was dependent upon the coming of the Holy Spirit. It's an interlocking thing. The Holy Ghost coming was utterly dependent upon Jesus coming, dying on the cross and rising again. And then with the coming of the Holy Spirit, God instituted the era or realm or age or covenant of experience of what took place then on that cross. What a tremendous thing this is. All is real in the Spirit. It was real in history, but now it has to be real to us in the Spirit, absolutely perfected in our lives. God then sent the Holy Ghost. It was a great day when the Holy Ghost came. It began an entirely new age. Until that, Calvary, so far as men and women was concerned, was still ineffectual. But when the Holy Ghost came, then it all became positive and personal in their lives. Now I want then, by God's grace, that every one of us in this room tonight, and I believe it is God's will for us too, should enter into such an experience of what God inaugurated on the day of Pentecost, that our lives should be transformed by it. Is that what you want? Is that what you need? A transformed life. Unless it has already been transformed, and is constantly being transformed by his marvelous movings in you. That's why it's dangerous to drop down into this sort of experience, oh, well, I've had my baptism or something like that. If you start using that kind of language, God will nearly despair of you, as though that's the sort of be-all and end-all of it. Beloved, it was just a beginning. And it began so much more than people are wont to think. And so we're going to examine it then. We're going to start our reading in the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles at the appropriate verse. I usually start at the end or something like that. So we'll start at verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own language, in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and in Cappadocia, in Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise God. Amen. Well, now I want to come on to that famous phrase, this is that. Praise God. But I want to say at first, straight away, that though it is that, it is more than that. That's right. This is that, but it's more than that. Glory be to God. Yeah, that's right. If only people believed that when they read the Bible. It's that, but oh, it's so much more than that. It's going to be marvelous. God's begun his great dealings in the last days. The last days began on the day of Pentecost. So we're well into them now. When the very last day of the last days shall come, I don't know, but it's coming all right. Somebody prayed that it was the 11th hour. Well, I believe it's the 12th. I believe it's the 12th. It's rather like we date time in history, you know, you see. When did the 20th century begin? 70 odd years ago. We're in the 20th century. When did the 12th hour begin? At 11 o'clock. Amen. The 11th hour only began at 10 o'clock. So we're well beyond that. We're in the 12th hour, all right? And God is moving in wonderful ways. And I like to think, and I think you should notice this, that in verse 16 it says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And then he goes on to say, it shall come to pass. So praise God. All that Joel's speaking about is coming and then it's going to pass. It's not going to come permanently. So you understand that whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be prophecy, that shall vanish away. Amen. This isn't the permanent thing. Glory be to God. You let that sink in. God's done something much more permanent than enable us to speak in tongues. Amen. And he did it on the day of Pentecost too. Praise his wonderful name. But blessed be the Lord, I can speak in tongues, and I'm going to. I won't do it now as a demonstration. It's never done for show off. But it's going to pass away. I won't have any need of it. I reckon I shall forget all about it, personally. I can prophesy, but that's going to cease. Praise the name of the Lord. It's all going to come to pass. And you think the things that at least it has come, sorry, it's going to pass. But you see, this is what, if you look lower down the chapter, you'll get this quite in perspective if you start reading in verse 32, where God is speaking and he says, or Peter is speaking for the Lord, this Jesus hath God raised up. He's spoken about Jesus' conviction and crucifixion and resurrection and ascension. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which is that. Now this which is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. It's something, look at it very carefully, that you can see and hear. That's all going to pass. Amen. Now, have you got something, an experience? Have you been baptized in the Spirit that people can see and hear? If you haven't, you haven't got it. This is that. But that's all Joel spoke about. It's perfectly consistent with the Old Testament revelation. They always spoke of outward things. They did not know the inward experience, you see. They always spoke of outward things, you see. Now you read your Old Testament and see. Because generally speaking, you will find as you go through the Old Testament, it was on these great outward things. And such surely enough, we've got to have these outward signs and wonders and gifts and abilities. But if it only rests in outward things, it's resting in the things that are going to pass away. If my baptism in the Spirit only rested in things that are going to pass away, I could almost wish God hadn't done it for me. It's a marvellous thing that God has done. It's far greater than that. Why, in this outward world, you see how God's going to turn anything up, everything upside down. Everything upside down. Now you look how he reverses nature. He says this. He says, I will show signs, verse 19, show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord comes. Now that's just reverse to what happens naturally, because it's the moon that's turned into darkness. Remember the nights when there's no moon, and then you get the first quarter, then you get the second quarter, then you get the third quarter, then you get the full moon, then you get the three quarters, then you get the half, then you get the there it is, there's a little slip in the sky, and then it goes into darkness. See? And it's always the sun that's turned into blood. You see it blood red at the sunset, or when it's rising in the morning, you see. But so God said, I'm going to reverse that, I'm going to turn the moon into blood, and the sun's going into darkness. Aye, that'll confound the scientist, won't it? Praise the name of the Lord. He's going to turn it all upside down, all the lot of it. Glory be to his name. He's the scientist. Praise the name of the Lord. Moreover, he can work his theories out, too. That's right. He doesn't try and experiment and then the Bunsen burner blows up or something. Not like that, not God. He does tremendous things. And the Lord is he's moving in this marvellous way. But you see, what we do wrongly, beloved, or what lots of people do wrongly, I hope you don't do this thing wrongly, they say, this is that, and they say, well, that's that, and that's all it is. See? And so that's all they get. They have that's all it is, an experience. That's all they have. You see? But it's more than that. Hallelujah. It's more than that. Mind you, I don't know whether you want this. Do you really want it? Notice what it says. It says, oh, it's a tremendous promise that the Lord makes here. You think of this. He says, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Glory be to God. Upon all flesh. Not only the Pentecostal people, because there's very, very few of them in the world. It'd be a poor lookout for the rest, wouldn't it? He said, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Ah. Praise God. Do you believe that? Amen. Well, you'd have to write a Bible of your own if you don't. And don't give it to me, because I don't want it. He says he's going to pour it out on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Oh, how about that? Prophecy is going to be the great, great continuing thing. That word coming clear through from God. The prophetic utterance of God. The sword of the Spirit in very truth that descends and comes and pierces to the dividing asunder is not a little clucking about sentimental things that passes for prophecy in so many. It's the great utterance of God that divides down between the soul and the Spirit and cuts out all this soulish fleshiness and brings us into the reality of the Spirit that takes out the nice little things that Mother Brown likes to come out with, or Father Black, or whatever his name is, and brings us right into the statements of God. God, let there be a revival of true prophecy. Amen. That's what we're needing. Not somebody spotting somebody in a meeting and thinking I'll give a nice little word to them in prophetic vein. Everybody knows you're doing it. Stop it. God save us. The whole great truth about it, beloved, it's an utterance coming through from God. And it does so much when God really speaks. Brings people into life. It pierces to the dividing asunder of everything. Discerns everything. It's precious when the prophetic word is in the midst of a company of God's people. He says, this is it, your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. What a tremendous thing this is. On my servants, on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit. They shall prophesy, and I'll show the wonders. Hallelujah. Hey, this is tremendous. Is that what happens in your church, in your group? Somebody prophesies and God shows a wonder and does a sign. Is that it? Bless the name of the Lord. This is what God is aiming at. A great new era, a phase and a life of miracle. It's not so we can get together and have a nice little time with our gifts or something like that. Because the rest of our church doesn't believe in them. We have about 10 meet in our home and we have a great time with them and all that sort of thing. If ever you did hear of anything like that, enough to shock the archangels, that is. That the whole truth, beloved, is that this is the thing that God is wanting to do. I'm pouring out my spirit on all flesh, says God. It's a marvelous thing to believe that. I believe that. I don't know whether you do. And God shows the sons and the daughters, they start prophesying. God shows the real handmaidens and real servants. This is God's pattern. This is what God says. They start moving in an utterly new realm. And Peter says, he says, now, he's risen to heaven, he shed forth this. That's what he's done. He shed forth this, that you can see and that you can hear. I'm thrilled it's something like that. I'm thrilled you haven't got to light a candle and go searching for it. I'm thrilled that you haven't got to sort of get a ASDIC or a radar thing to try and discover it, because it's all hidden away. Bless the name of the Lord. It all becomes audible. It all becomes visible. It all becomes plain. It's all undeniable. It's in your ears. It's in your eyes. You can't escape it. That's what happened when God poured out the Spirit to inaugurate this age. And that's how God intended it to go on. I hope you believe that. I'm an utterly convinced man along this line. This is what God poured out by the Spirit. And whatever men are pouring out, I don't know. I'm not even concerned about that. Except that one can be a bit sorry if it's not what God says. But this is what God does. This is that. Ask no more questions, says poor Peter, really. They're saying, what's this? What does it mean? This is what it is. Oh, what does it mean? Oh, it means, beloved, it means that Jesus has ascended. It means that Jesus has reached the ultimate throne. He's reached the highest heights. It wasn't until he got there that it all took place. And there he poured out the Spirit, and it means that God is moving on now into the last days, and he's going to wind it all up in this great power of the Holy Ghost. We're in the age of the Spirit. We're in the age of the miraculous. We're in the time of the Holy Ghost. Oh, what a wonderful time it is. That. That's what it means. It means then that you, beloved, and I have got to be in this place where the Holy Ghost is just in. And, well, you know what happened on the day of Pentecost. It filled the room. The Holy Ghost did. He just filled everywhere. Praise God. Well, they were in the Spirit, and the Spirit was in them, and the Spirit was on them, and the Spirit was around them, and they could say, it's all the Holy Ghost, it's all the Holy Ghost, it's all the Holy Ghost. Right up to the highest throne he's come down from there. Why? It's all the Holy Ghost. What a marvelous thing. It's that. But bless the Lord, it's more than that. It is this also. John chapter 14. Now, I hope you're not one of those people who think, well, if it was John chapter 14, why didn't Peter say it's John chapter 14? Well, I'll tell you, because John chapter 14 wasn't written. That's why. That's why. He couldn't say it was what Jesus said. He couldn't say it's what John wrote. So he could say it was what Joel wrote. He'd been brought up in the Old Testament, and the New Testament wasn't written. Now, the day was being inaugurated when it should be written, the great new covenant. So he couldn't refer to what wasn't written. Bless God, he could refer to what was written. But it's this also. Here it is, John chapter 14, 15. If you love me, says Jesus, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you unto the age, actually, you've got forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me. Because I live, you shall live also. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you, and that won't come to pass. That will come permanently. That's forever and ever. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Oh, he's going to abide with you unto the age. What age? He doesn't say. The age of the ages. You remember that phrase in Scripture? No, it's not written that way. That's the Greek of it. When you come onto these forever and ever and world without end and these great terms, they're this, the aeons of the aeons, the aeon of the aeons. And you'll have to work it out. You can, if you've got some brains. Instead of $700 chocolate bought you this Christmas, ask somebody for something that'll help you to get down to the book. Because chocolate will pass away. So the Lord will teach you the great things of his truth. And this is that which happened on the day of Pentecost too. See? Oh, it was wonderful. He came, that blessed one, and he baptized them in the Holy Ghost. And he said, I'm going to come right in you. I'm going to leave you comfortless. You think I'm going to leave you comfortless, do you? You think I'm going to leave you stranded? You think I've called you people and led you on, and then I'm going to leave you and it's all going to be gone? I'm going to come and live in you, and oh, how I'm going to live. You see, this is Jesus. Ah, this is that which he speaks about as life abundant. You see, it's so glorious. Amen. Oh, I'm thrilled with this. This is going to stay. And I want to deal with the things that are going to stay. Not in any way to despise the things that are going to pass away, because they're going to stay all the way through this age. Hallelujah. They're going to be in you. They're going to be with you. God's going to equip us. That's marvelous. I don't know how well equipped you are. I don't know what functions of the Spirit do go on through you as a vocal being or as a working man or woman in the body of Jesus Christ. I don't know. I don't know you well enough. But this I do know, beloved, that we're in this present day of power. That's what we're in, and we're also in this great day of life. Yes, he said, this is it. I'm going to pray the Father. And when the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, they knew that Jesus had prayed and that he'd received the gift. That's what Peter said. We can read it in Acts chapter 2. Let's go back. It's as well to check it right out in Scripture and see what he really is saying. He said, Jesus, God exalted him in verse 33, and he's received of the Father the promise of the Spirit. There it is. And he shed forth this, which you now see and hear. Oh, glory to God. You know, this was a precious thing. And they also knew that he was in them. They hadn't got it clear then. They had a lot of things to sort of get cleared up, and the Spirit had to teach them a lot of things, as Jesus said. He'll teach you whatsoever things I've said unto you. And then the Holy Ghost taught them all this. John wrote it down afterwards under the great moving of the Spirit. But this is what happened. Oh, the glory of it. Oh, the assurance of it. Oh, what this mighty baptism does. This blessed work of God and of grace that brings you into the knowledge of this eternal union, this linkage, this oneness, this fellowship, as though you're one. God can feel you in him like you can feel God in you. It's quite natural to him too for you to be there. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. And you're not like a thorn in his flesh. He hasn't got any flesh anyway. And you're not like something inside that makes him feel sick, like he wrote to the church in Laodicea and said, I'm going to spew you out of your mouth and make me feel sick. You never thought of God ever feeling sick, did you? You thought God never felt sick. Well, that's what he said. He said, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Terrible. But you're in God's blessed being and self and person. Oh, this is the thing. This is the thing. This is the permanent thing. This is the place of eternal abode. This is the going with God. This is the shutting up in union. This is the life. This is the consciousness. That I'm as conscious of being in God as God is conscious of having me in him. I'm conscious of it. Oh, bless the Lord. Amen. This is the delight. It isn't because somebody in the meeting says, come on, jerk your feet, you're getting a bit stale or something like that. This is the glorious mainspring of everything. This brings you right up through everything. It's this that takes you everywhere. You move in this consciousness of God. This is what happened on the day of Pentecost. You can see this written all through the Acts of the Apostles. You might have thought it was God there doing anything. Everything, it was them. Just men and women. A
That's all. Why, you were someone say, well, God couldn't have done it better. That's absolutely true. Jesus couldn't have done it better. That's really, it almost sounds like blasphemy, doesn't it? It's absolutely true. You read through those first chapters of the Acts of the Apostles and you see it's written all over there. Can't you? Doesn't it shout at you off the page? You might not have heard it put like that, but now I put it to you. Isn't it true? That's right. Look, old Peter says, you just take the third chapter. Let's have a look at it. I want to say so much to you tonight that I don't want to... I'm hoping you're real Bible readers, students, and you're au fait with it. I want you to let your heart and soul come with me. Don't want you to be stumbling about it all. Don't want you to have to keep turning back to the book. Want you to know it, and it's spontaneous life in you. Did I ever tell you that I went to a conference, a convention, in South India? I'd been looking at those posters all day. I've seen that view of Srinagar up there. They didn't got snow on them at that time. The snow's just started to fall when I left. And I thought, when I went down to that convention, you've all heard me say this. Now, if you come to these conferences, whatever else you don't bring, bring your Bible. If you don't bring your money, and if you don't bring your towel, and you forget your toothbrush, that's what all the others... See, all the other men, they write you a bill, you know, bring your sheet, bring your pillow slips, bring your this, and I let you... You've had that, looking at it for months, and I send up and say, well, it doesn't matter if you don't bring your blankets, and don't bring your Bibles, and don't bring anything else, but bring your Bibles, I say. That's the important thing. So I stood up. In this conference in India, thousands of people there say, I'd like you all to bring your Bibles. And the chap on my right, they translated it. And they all sat there, and not one of them had got a Bible. And I thought, well, this is a bit thick. But I realized afterwards they knew them. So they didn't need to bring them. That'll be the time, won't it? For you? Because that's how Indians learn. It's all done by repetition. They sit down and they read. They'll sit for hours when they get a Bible, and they'll keep on, and they'll keep on, and they'll keep on, and they'll keep on, beloved, till they nearly tell you where to turn the page when you're reading, if you're not careful. Mind, I haven't got so many complications like you have, poor Westerners, but never mind. In this third chapter, here's Peter speaking. He says, oh, it's glorious. I'd like to read it all. Where shall we start? Let's start at verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you, and it shall come to pass that every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you. Eh? Yeah, but he sent Peter. See? Raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and it was Peter that God had sent to them. Yeah. That's why he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Where did he get that authority from? Because God had sent him.
She'd taken Jesus home and he'd sent Peter.
There you are.
Jesus couldn't have done it any better himself.
And how about that?
Of course, Peter couldn't have hung on the cross for anybody. Peter couldn't have shed his blood for anybody. But Peter could minister as well as Jesus. You read about it as you go through the Acts of the Apostles.
Right. It's a tremendous thing for you to realize this. God had done a mighty thing. Oh, what he did.
I say, has anything like this, anything like it happened to you? You're not asked to be an apostle.
That's not the point. It's astounding when the whole implications of the truth come to a man's heart. It shatters his self-complacency, brings him down to that cross fundamentally, buries him in that grave absolutely, raises him from the dead gloriously, sits him on the throne positively, moves him in the outpourings of the Spirit identically.
Now this is what God wants us to understand.
He says,
I'm coming to you. He's consummated there on the human level when he has come to you. That's what he said in John 14. I will come to you.
Well, is that all you can come to, Lord? Me?
Can Jesus amount to me? In fact, he's come for that very purpose, to amount to me. For he is God. He is that man. He is that holy one. He is the glorious one. He's come to be you. All you. He bought you, all of you, totally, everything about you. You're his. He's come to be you.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Nobody believes the Bible really. Do they? Do you believe it? That I won't leave you comfortless. I'm coming to you, he said. Ah, glory. I've got to pray the Father for this. This is fulfillment in all his own, you see. No wonder he's got to pray the Father about this. He wants fulfillment as well as you. He wants consummation on earthly levels as you want consummation on heavenly ones. Amen. He's bought you. God, open our eyes to see what he intended by Calvary for us. Do you realize how totally he claims to be Lord of you? Absolute Lord. Absolute. Open our eyes to this, Lord. Open our eyes to this. People are wanting power without his lordship. Why? God's asking for trouble if he does that. But he's had enough trouble. All yours and mine he took. All our sin. Everything about it. He's had enough trouble with every one of us, surely, hasn't he? So he gets poured out the Holy Ghost. Self-fulfillment. Christ in you. Jesus alive in the flesh. Power from on high. Glory be to God. That's what it's all about. Did you realize why the blood was shed? Did you realize what he was after? This, I want to say to you, beloved, is that John wrote. That. At that day, he said, you'll know. You pass out of all hesitancy, all doubt, all guesswork, all theorizing. You'll know. Now, I will guarantee to you one thing. There wasn't a book written about it. They couldn't read anybody's book. They all knew. Somebody came to me the other day and said, I've read such and such a book. I bought all the books there are on the baptism in the Spirit. I don't quite know how many that means. I won't tell you the names. I've read Turnto, I've read Turnto, I've read Turnto, I've got this book. Yeah, I said, that's a good book. Yeah, it's a good book. Praise God. But they couldn't read one. Well, I say, weren't they? I mean, surely they were a great disadvantage, weren't they? No, they prefer to know the only real way that a person can know. And they knew. Heaven, it seems, held no secrets from them. It seemed that God was no mystery anymore. It seemed that they could unlock the heavens and they could unlock the earth. It seems like it to me. You read it. This great baptism. Mind you, it's such a tremendous thing. For it's not only that we've read about Joel and John 14. It's this too. Romans chapter 6. It's that. Oh, hallelujah. It's that. When God baptizes you in the Spirit. This is what it is. Know ye not, verse 3, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm buried with Jesus. Bless the day of the Lord. Buried with Jesus. Oh, glory. I got buried with Jesus when God baptized me in the Spirit. I got buried with Jesus. Hallelujah. Marvelous to be buried with Jesus. Nobody shovels dirt on you then. Praise God. Nobody says ashes to ashes and dust to dust then. Hallelujah. When you're buried with Jesus, glory be to God. When you're buried with Jesus, beloved, you know what took place in that burial. When you're crucified with Christ, you know what took place on that crucifixion. You know. It creeps up from down here into your quickening understanding. It vividly flames through the imagination. The whole inward man feels it. And one becomes alive with the life of God. Don't blame yourself if you don't quite know all this that I'm talking about. I'm an old hand at it now. But this should be a... You should know this. And I'm here to tell you, like they of old told the early church, what the truth is. That's the usefulness of a man. If he can't tell others, he's no business to be in a preacher's position. None at all. He's got to speak from inward knowledge. They knew what it was to be crucified with Christ. Glory be to the name of the Lord. They never felt the nail prints. They never felt scars on their brow. They never felt scorn in a judgment hall. That was exclusively Jesus. Belong to him and bless him for it. But oh, the power of this cross, this carrying me to the cross, this was his chiefest burden. This was his greatest work, the reclamation of man. This taking up a man where he needs to be taken up and taking him to the cross where he cannot go except by the Lord Jesus. This transfixing of him there. This taking down and burying him in the tomb. Glory be to God that he might know a better resurrection. This is that. This is what happened to them on the day of Pentecost. From that moment on, they were buried out of sight. You can't see that old Peter anymore. I have to talk about him because he's the sort of star that fills the sky. But he's representative of them all. He's the head, if you like, at that time. He's the mouthpiece of the church. He's talking out the truth. They're all saying the same thing. They're all testifying. They're all witnesses unto him. Not 50 different testimonies and witnesses. They're all talking the same thing. They're shouting out this marvelous thing that God did. This is the introduction into it. This is the initiation. This is the beginning. They were dead. They were buried on that day of Pentecost. That was done. Hallelujah. Experimentally. What had taken place historically, but 50 days or so before. Amen. They were in. Oh, let's read this. It's marvelous. It's alive. Buried with him by baptism into death. Permanent death. Not into a death, but into death. I'm in death. Been buried into it. Glory. Glory. I hope you could hear the old man talking then. He's in death. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And here comes the new man. Listen to him. He says, the like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We've been planted together in the likeness of his death. I've left out the four if because I'm talking God's intentions now. We have been. This was what God did. You only have to say four if you're going to bring an argument out to show you something. Amen. This is the great plan of God. Crucify them. Bury them. Plant them down in there. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. If you've been planted together in the likeness of his death, you're also in the likeness of resurrection, knowing this, that your old man crucified with Christ. Oh, it's tremendous. It's all so precious. And out they go in this glorious experience. Beloved, this is that too. This is that. It's what Joel wrote. It's what John wrote. It's what Paul wrote. It's that. Amen. But of course Peter couldn't say it on the day of Pentecost because Paul hadn't even been saved then. Any more than Joel could talk about the future day of Pentecost because he didn't know anything about it. Joel couldn't write in his prophecy, oh well of course they said, but this is what Peter's going to stand up and say on the day of Pentecost hundreds of years hence. But it's the same thing. It's the same. I want to know whether you got it. Amen. If only, only men and women's hearts could come wide open to all that took place. If only they could see it. If only they knew this great open door into the past, this day of Pentecost. You say, into the past? Oh, yeah. It's only 50-odd days in the past. That's all. It's an open door into the past, the day of Pentecost is. It's an open door right straight That's the Calvary. Amen. And it's an open door right up into the future. Oh, John said there was a door opened unto him in heaven. He said, I soon got up in there, in the spirit. And he saw backwards and forwards and upwards and downwards and all round about him. And he knew what was happening. Glory be to the name of the Lord. This is that, beloved. This is that, all right. This is what God did to me. Mind you, I've only come to recognize it. Nobody ever told me the things I'm telling you. I've only come to see it as God takes you on. Experience things and you can't explain them, and somebody comes along and purports to explain it and says, read this and read that and read the other. And then you go to someone else, he says, read this, read that, read the other. And then you go to another chap, he says, read this, read that, read the other. And so you're going round in all the circles that it's possible to go round in. Hallelujah. Instead of a man standing up and saying, when God baptized me in the Spirit, that is what he did. That. Glory. This is the result of it. Here I am. Oh, it's so glorious when all this thing happens in your life. He that's dead in verse 7 is freed from sin. Oh, that's why it's glorious not only to know you're dead but buried. Then you're buried from sin too if you're buried. Amen. That's the way of keeping you well out of it. That's the way. Praise God. You never heard about your old grandmother that's been dead for 25 years eating bread and jam, did you? Last night. Because she couldn't. Well out of it. Well out of it. She's not worried about the income tax position or war in India. Well out of it. Bless the name of the Lord. This is the whole secret. These early people, they kept well out of it. Pooh, they were right out of it. You can see it. They weren't of this world anymore. They knew they weren't. They came. They were here as representatives of another world. Say, where's this world? In the spirit, brother. It's a kingdom. It's a kingdom of God. How we are living in a new kingdom. We've got a glorious king. They went round and said, could you hear these people speaking about another king? Yes, that's what they say. Yes, hallelujah. That's what they were doing. Read it in the Acts of the Apostles. They're talking about another king. Nobody had a clue what they were talking about, but all they knew was it seemed to turn everything upside down when they did this. And they lived as though they were under another king. They were different. They were different. They seemed to be buried so far down that everybody else was doing and saying never touched them. they seemed to be gone. Don't it touch you about Coronation Street on the... There's a program called Coronation Street, is there? So whether I'm in touch or out, I don't know. I hear these things. Well, that doesn't touch you, does it? Oh, dear, oh, dear. Or something like that. Where in the world are we? We're out of it. The Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. He can do mighty things. Gone, gone, gone. When you rise from the dead, beloved, it's in a new life, in a new kingdom, as a new creature, under new authority, moving in new power, having new abilities. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. It's so wonderful. And you see, it's also this. It's not only that. We're really only beginning now. Go back into the Acts of the Apostles. When we go back into the Acts of the Apostles and we turn to 15th chapter, this we find it's this too. Oh, this is great. In the 15th chapter, it says this. Verse 7. Peter speaking again. He's rising up, and he seems to be full of this ability to rise up at odd times. Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear a word of the gospel and believe, and God, which knoweth the heart, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. He put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Hallelujah. See what they got for believing. They got hearts all inwardly pure. That's why the outside had no effect on them. That's right. To the pure, all things are pure. What a marvelous position these people were in. Are you there? This is that which happened on the day of Pentecost. Oh, I remember how it happened to me. My word. When God met me on this line, this is the thing I'm always talking about. Talk about making my heart pure inside me. The things he took away from my life. Things he took out of me, took out of my tastes. I didn't even want them anymore. He so purified. I didn't desire them. They all went. Big things, little things, right things, wrong things, you know, by some standards. And they all went. Marvelous what God did to me. The world came two shades brighter. Yes, it did everything. Yeah, everything. Talk about darkness going away. Everything. Oh, hallelujah. I've got a real entrance into this body of Jesus Christ, you know. He's the light. I got right in him. Marvelous. I began to see things then. I can still see them. I keep seeing more and more as I go on. If you do, you'll get into all its secrets. But if you want to know the scandal about this, that and the other, you'll never get into the secrets of Christ. Never. To move into what God has for you, beloved, in all his fullness, with a pure heart. My, when you've got a pure heart, God can trust you. And listen, when you've got a pure heart, everybody else knows they can trust you. Yeah, thou talk to you then. They'll start to discover their inward secrets to you then. Anyway, if they don't, they think you'll see through them and know them. So they do. And everything, when you're pure, beloved, when you're pure, and when you keep pure, hallelujah, when the heart of you's right, when the heart of you's absolutely straight, so out they went. And they never ceased to talk about Jesus Christ. Never. They ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Remember where that phrase comes? I won't tell you. It's in the early chapters of the Acts of the Apostles. You read it. I think you might get to like this book if you really read it. And God will open up the truth to you. It's so glorious when you know what the Lord is after. You see, now, I've already remarked that Joel, in keeping with the whole tenor of the Old Testament, only referred to things you could see and hear. But nobody can see if you've got a pure heart. They can't see that. Nobody can see your life that's hid with Christ in God. They can't see that. But that's the thing that's going to last. When I've finished prophesying, because there won't be any need to prophesy, I shall still need a pure heart. Hallelujah. I shall still need
to know that I'm in him. Oh, you know, beloved, this, I think, is the sweetest treasure of all. It must be, surely. Can I think of anything better than this, that I'm in him? Can I? I'm in him. To me, that's even better than him being in me. Oh, yes. For I in him, I'm left entirely to God's consciousness. But he in me, vividly in my consciousness. I'm absolutely alive. But I'd rather trust to God's consciousness. I'd rather blindly, with my eyes wide open, strangely enough, trust him with his feelings and his thoughts and the disposings of his life and the movings through my glorious God. I'd rather trust that, because it was from him came the life that took love in flesh and bone to redeem me, to bring me back unto the life from which man originally came. Amen. Bring me right back there in God with pure heart and consciousness of life there, so that my life consciousness is consciousness of God. Amen. And consciousness of God is all the bliss that a man could seek. There are other joys that are given him, but they're all inferior to this. There are other pleasures, but they all are insignificant compared with this, that I mean God. Amen. So then we'll go on, shall we? And this time we're going back to Romans again. For it's this too. Yeah. It's this too. All right. There is therefore now no condemnation. What chapter am I reading? That's right. You'd all know that one. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I don't have to sin and die anymore. I'm free from the law. If I voluntarily take it on, then that's my fault. Amen. I'm free by the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. This is that. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus came into them on the day of Pentecost. Broke all the other laws, set them free. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, it was wonderful. Was wonderful. Now that's come to remain. That's not going to pass away. Hey, what a great inauguration. What an instating of eternal truth on earth. What a bringing down of glorious fullness. Eh? For you to live in your life without this law of sin and death working in you. The devil can't come along with some nagging hook. You've got to sin. You've got to sin. You're going to fall. You're going to sit up. You're going to this. Hallelujah. Don't take any notice of him. Call him a liar. Go on, I'm not. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when he crowds you and starts to press it on, and he wants you to think that you're already sinning, you stand up and say, no, I'm not. Hallelujah.
There, the Lord allows you to be tested. He doesn't always want you to be running around in napkins, I mean, or crawling around. You've got to get up and put up with something now. Amen. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Sometimes I cry unto God. I don't know whether you do this. Perhaps you're miles ahead of me. Perhaps it's me that's crawling on the floor. You'll soon decide for yourself. Sometimes I say to God, oh Lord, I don't understand it. Just take it all away, Lord. Just take it all away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Take it right away, Lord. I sometimes say to him, if you don't take it away, I can't carry on. So he takes it away. Aye, that's right. Yeah, I say that to him. To you, perhaps you're in advance of me, you see. Perhaps you talk lovely, great big talk. I keep talking baby talk, see. That's what I do. And see, I'm trying to be my age. You're trying to be grown up. I'm not. So you never will grow up, because you never grow up by trying, you see. That's the trouble. You think if you use the correct phrases out of glossy magazines, you'll be all right. Nothing of the sort, beloved. Nothing of the sort. You get down on the floor on your face and you say, take it away, Lord. If you don't take it away, I can't carry on. See? Something like that. When you're there, that's when it all happens. Because he wants you to carry on. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus isn't complicated. It's just as simple as ABC. This is how you walk in newness of life. No condemnation. Oh, it's precious here. Hallelujah. This is that. I tell you, it's that. If this hasn't happened to you, then it hasn't happened. You've only had what Joel said, what the Old Testament prophets cried about. Have you got what the New Testament apostles are writing about it? Hey, have you got what the New Testament prophets are saying? They only prophesied of the inauguration of the New Testament, coming in with signs and wonders and fireworks. Excuse me saying it that way, but you know what I mean. That's what they did. That's how their covenant came in. Mountains on fire, thunderings, voices, trumpets. Oh, that's right. So in comes the new. It's going to come signs and wonders, and that's what they can see, and there's some people can only see that. They're all Old Testament in their approach. Instead of coming into what the apostles of the new covenant have to say about it, this is that. This is that. This is the tragedy, because the church is trying to build on the Old Testament position all the time. That's the tragedy. They can't come into the new. God save them. Letterbound, they can only see this is that written about Joel. That's all they can see. Instead of entering into the life, and this is what they did. When they entered in, they then wrote about it. I said, this is it. Glory to God. This is it. Amen. Who wants to speak in tongues and prophesy if they can't have the heart of Jesus in them? If they can't cease from sin, what's the use of it all? Glory be to God. If they can't be buried out of sight and got rid of the miserable thing that it is, and live as Jesus promised, saying, I'm the resurrection and the life. You say, that's right, Lord. I'm the resurrection and the life with you. You've brought me in. That's right. What a tremendous thing this is, to live in this realm of glorious life where God intends you to live. Amen. It's this that makes the frenetic, frantic reachings out after gifts and things, especially one gift called tongues. It's this, because people haven't got it clear what God is after. Why, I want to tell you, it was the greatest day of life that they ever knew, the day of Pentecost, because it was the greatest day of death. It was a graveyard.
praise God. It was also a great birthplace. It was also a great resurrection. It was also a great move of God. It was all a bringing into a point of time that which God wanted men to know. Moving. It's that. Glory be to the name of the Lord. That's what it is. You got it? This is that. Praise God. Oh, I tell you something else too. There's a lot about this New Testament position. Praise Him. I hope one thing gets done tonight, that you come out of the Old Testament into the New, if nothing else happens. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's this too. Oh, this is what it is. Amen. This is what it is. Oh, it's so precious. Verse 12. As the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. This is that. This is it. Glory be to the name of the Lord. See, as the body's one, it had many members. Only one body was put in the grave, but it had many members. And I went. I went in. Hallelujah. Yeah, I drank into a new spirit. Hallelujah. I did. You know. Being made to drink into one spirit. Praise him. Marvelous. And immediately, this is what God intends. This is what He inaugurated on the day of Pentecost. They moved into new membership positions and new membership functions. There's no record in 1 Corinthians 12 that they needed anything else done to them to make them operate the gifts after they'd been baptized into one body. You read it and see. Straight in. That's what it's all about. My identification point, my glorious knowledge that I'm in Him, I belong to Him. I'm a member of Jesus Christ. I am, you know. I'm a member of Jesus Christ. So have a look at Him. Have a look at your Jesus. I'm a member of Him. I want to look at you. Are you a member of Him? Are you? If I said stand up, if you're a member of Jesus Christ, and know you are, in the sense I'm talking about, would you be on your feet? Because I want to have a look at Jesus. I want to discern the body. Praise God. I can discern the body too. I hope you can. This is what it is, beloved. This is what it is. Simple as ABC. You never saw anything plainer upon the scriptures, the sacred page, than this. This is that one baptism that's spoken about in Ephesians chapter 4. There's only one baptism. I set this up in a place somewhere up in the north of England, and a man came to me afterwards, and he stuck at me for half an hour after this. I said about it, because it didn't fit in with his theology and his doctrine, you see. I suppose I must be pretty awkward. And he was about 20 years my junior, but he thought he could tell me, and he was quite polite. But we can all keep learning even if we live to be 90. So I said to him, but doesn't the scripture say there's one baptism? Yes, he said, but here's another one. I said, then you've got a different Bible from mine then, haven't you? He says there's one baptism. That's what your Bible says. Now, people's books may not say the same thing. Well, burn the books then, but don't burn the Bible.
someone's right. Well, it must be God. It can't be anybody else. I mean, we'll all agree it's God that's right. You don't think he made a mistake when he said there's one baptism? Why didn't he say there were three if everybody else knows there's three? Because there aren't three. There's only one. Glory be to the name of the Lord. It's so simple, you see. And all they're talking about getting in the three, you're supposed to have in one. Three in one's right, you see. They don't understand. I'd like to spend a long time talking to you about this. Yeah, I would, you know. I'm trying to write a book on it. One of these times I'll get round to it. The whole thing, beloved, is that the Lord is... Oh, open your heart. He's so bountiful. He wants to bring you out of your little niggardly things. I'll choose a third of it tonight, Lord. You know what you really mean? Lord, I'll have everything. You're a man after God's own heart. So the Lord is moving into the utter reality of eternal truth. Baptism in water is going to pass away. It's only a picture. That's all it is. That's not the baptism. It's only a picture. I said I wouldn't talk on it. All right, I'll leave it. But there's something else. But let's move on to this tremendous realm that we've been baptized into one body. That's where the one bodiness is. The single bodiness is in the baptism. That's where it lies. And there's no other way into it. God doesn't know any other way. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And the only way into it, beloved, is that you should be crucified right out of the way. Buried out of it. Got rid of it. Amen. So that when you come up, you're not an egotistical little miss or a puffed up mister. You're in the body of Jesus Christ, and stop making such a big fuss. He's the head. That's right. You've now lost your identity for a better one. Praise God for it. You never were any good. You never will be any good. And the longer you keep living, the worse it'll be for you and everybody else. So the best thing to do, beloved, is to let the Lord Jesus Christ have you totally. He's a mighty baptizer. He knows just how to do it. And he baptized you there. It's your point of entrance into what took place on the cross and the burial in the tomb. Marvelous. And it's your placing in the body for a new great functioning in the body of Jesus Christ as a member of Jesus Christ and not a promoter of yourself. Amen. A member of Jesus Christ. That's all you are, but you are that. And it's a marvelous thing. Now just get on with his business and function as a member of Jesus would function. That's what you're to do. That's the rest of your function for all eternity. Precious, precious Lord, I belong to you. Now, I think it's something else, too. I must tell you this one, though, because I'm not telling you anything new, really. I'm only collating scriptures and putting them together for you. That's all I'm doing. And in Romans chapter 5, you know this one. This is a great one. Hallelujah. You know the verse I'm going to talk about, don't you? You keep reading it. It's verse 5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
Amen. That's right.
So you see, a pure heart and a loving heart. And that's a lovely thing. This is that, all right. Oh, this is that. You can't do what God wants you to do unless this has taken place in you. God's got tremendous thrills for you to be able to love people. That's a marvelous thing, to be able to love men and women. Love them. Somebody said to me the other day, they said, I can't love her, Mr. North. I can't love her, somebody said. Nobody in this room, don't think I'm hinting at anybody, if you think of people that might have seen me recently. It's nobody in this room. I'm thinking further back than that. I can't love her. I said, yes, you can. She said, no, I can't. I said, yes, you can. Well, you see, I go, I try to be nice, and then it all comes up against the brick wall. It's all cold. Aha, that's what your love's for. That's what you've got to destroy. Yeah. I said, you're only complaining because she can't love you, really. That's what you're complaining about. No, you're not to wait for her to love you. As soon as you see her, you're to go for her and put your arms around her and love her. I say, that's what I do. That's right. Then they either finish up hating me like poison or else they yield and start loving me like anything. That's right. You'd be surprised how many people tell me that first time I saw you, I hated you. I say, well, you ought to be very careful because hate and love are very akin, you know. Very akin, like laughter and tears. They seem to be opposite, but it's right. Amen. You ought to be careful about that. Well, she said, I hated you. She told me ever so many times. I said, well, I didn't feel it. You see, when you love, you don't feel that. You don't take any notice of that. You don't accept that. You only accept what you accept. In this realm, you don't accept that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If God had accepted it, where would we have been? Our hatred of him. I love you, he says. That's right. That's a marvelous thing. When the God gives you the Holy Ghost to shed this superhuman quality abroad in your heart. That's what happened to me when God baptized me in the Spirit. I didn't know at the time, mind you. I just started to have a good time. I started to enjoy things. It was marvelous. Because afterwards I sorted out what had happened. I found I could love people. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Mind you, and it was love. I didn't know what love was till then. I thought I knew. But when God really did this, something absolutely seemed to make me impervious, thick-skinned. When people said, also, did you know that they insulted you? I said, no, I wasn't aware of that. Do you know what they said about you? I said, no, I didn't. Do you know how they feel about you? I said, no, I don't feel that. Praise God. Do you know what they're saying? Do you know what they're doing? No, I don't know what they're saying and doing. That's not it. You read your Gospels again. Go on, read your gospel. Start reading them now in your mind. You know of any place where Jesus Christ took any notice of that? So all they're calling me Beelzebub. I can't love them. Let's go home. Father, take me home. These people hate me. Do you see? Oh, Father, they hate me. Take me home. They're beating me. They're crucifying me. That's right. Well, go and be crucified properly. Yes, I will, Father. That's right. That's right. That's love. That's love. Hallelujah. Now, when God shall shed the love of God abroad in your heart, when the Holy Ghost does it, that's what he comes for. Has he come? As he come, shed this love of God upon your heart. It is there. You know, somebody will start feeling that you're like Jesus then. They will.
Somebody will really start feeling it right. Mind you, they might hate you a little bit more for it. For a little while. That's the whole point. When you can move in and do things that nobody else dare do. When you can move in and pull people to your heart. See? When you can move in. Oh, glory. When you really love. When your heart's pure. When your motives are right. When you've only got one great theme and it's Jesus on your lips. And when you've only got one reason to live and it's Him. To do His work. Not because you keep saying, oh, Lord, all I want to do is live for you, but because you're out there doing it. That's right. You see? Now we're really getting somewhere, aren't we? This is that. You can see this as plain as anything. When you read through the opening chapters of the Acts of the Apostles, it's this all right. They loved. How they loved one another. They loved one another. Praise them. They loved one another. Did you ever take it into your heart what it meant? These Jews, they were all Jews. Think of it, they were Jews, the proselytes of Jewish religion. They started giving everything away. Right left the centre. Oh, there you are. No, if a Jew does that, you know something's happened. Nobody said, hey, that's mine. It's yours, brother. It's yours. Take it. Glory be to God. That's right. Once it seems, beloved, once they really got into the body of that real Jew from heaven, when they really got into that life, they didn't sort of take any notice of anything else. They loved. And if there's one thing you're sure of about this body of Jesus Christ, it's a body of love. And everybody in it is a lover. Has to be. That's why He gives you the Holy Ghost. That you should come right clear into this realm. And I'll tell you one other thing it is, and I think probably we'll leave it there. And this time we're going back into the Gospels. And it's in Matthew chapter 16. And it's again what Matthew wrote, but as I have already said, Peter couldn't refer to it because he hadn't written it. But this was taking place, though, just the same. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 15, whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter. Full stop. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is that. On the day of Pentecost, the church was founded on the rock. The birthday of the church. Glory be to the name of the Lord. You'll find it in the last verse of chapter 2 of the Acts of the Apostles. The church came into being. God's glorious New Testament church. Christ's own living body. Came into being on the day of Pentecost. And He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What a marvelous thing this is, beloved. You believe that? That's what took place. This is that. Matthew 16, verse 18, is that just the same as Joel chapter 2? That. And God has commenced it. He's done it. And isn't it precious? It doesn't matter what Satan's done. It doesn't matter what work of darkness has been wrought in or upon you. It doesn't matter what hellishness has risen up in your life. It doesn't matter whether you feel the brazen gates are shut against you. It doesn't matter if you feel you're already incarcerated. I want to tell you that tonight, in the name of Jesus, the gates of hell can't prevail against his church. Amen. That's what he founded it for. And it's a marvelous thing. I want to tell you the gates of hell are wide open. Come on out. Come on. Amen. He's going to bring you into this glorious church. He's going to bring you into this thing. This is what he's done, beloved. This is what the golden trumpet is every mouth for. This is why Wesley says, oh, for a trumpet voice on all the world to call and bid their hearts rejoice in him who died for all. For all my Lord was crucified. For all my Savior died. Happy if with my latest breath I may but gasp his name, preach him to all and cry in death, behold the Lamb, glory be to the name of the Lord. He's going to build his church. He is building his church. Are you in it? You can only get in by Pentecost. That's when he founded his church. That's how they got in originally. That's when it started. Praise the name of the Lord. This is tremendous. He said, and take the church, and Peter said, dark Peter, he said, don't forget that. And I said, full stop. Amen. And on this rock I'm going to build my church. He said, but I'm going to give you the keys. And so up he gets on the day of Pentecost. He's got the keys, all right. He starts to unlock heaven for a start. He unlocks, yes, that's right. He unlocks the mystery about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Ye men of Israel, you know, these words are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing this is but the third hour of the day. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And so he goes on in this tremendous way, and then he says, oh, he says, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by signs and wonders which God did by him in the midst of you. Him, and away he goes on and unlocks the great mystery of the crucifixion. And then the resurrection. He goes back and he says, thou, Jesus went down into the grave singing. Jesus went down into the grave singing a psalm. Excuse my language, this is what he did. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither shalt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known unto me the ways of life. Thou wilt fill me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me speak unto you of the patriarch David. And away he goes, and he says, David is not ascended up into the heaven, but being a prophet. You see, he goes right on and says all these tremendous things, knowing that God would raise up unto him a son to sit upon his throne. He spake before of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This same Jesus hath God raised from the dead. This is the way he goes. He unlocks the whole mystery, relates it back into the psalm, opens heaven. He says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and he received of the Father the promise of the Spirit, he shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he himself
said these things. And away, he's there.
Got the key to it all.
Glory, glory.